From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Jamaica's death row inmates to have their cases reviewed between now and the end of February. Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister appeals for union help in his economic plans. And Rohan Kanai describes Brian Lara's performance as one of the greatest knocks he's seen in Test cricket. I'm Debbie Ransom, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. Jamaica's Minister of National Security and Justice, K.D. Knight, said today he hopes the process of reviewing the cases of death row inmates could be completed before the end of February. At the last count, there were 274 prisoners on death row in Jamaica. The Offences Against the Persons Act reclassifies death row inmates as having committed capital or non-capital murders. Those allocated as having committed non-capital offences are to be taken off death row. The others will remain. Mr. Knight says, although they will still have a process of appeal open to them, he hopes to have all cases reviewed within the next 3 weeks.
They have 21 days within which to challenge that classification. As I understand it, the Court of Appeal will be dealing with the challenges in this month of January. As soon as they are finished, then the list will be sent to the Governor General's office. The Privy Councillors will examine each case and then decide whether to recommend that the prerogative of mercy be exercised. If not, then those persons who have not been pardoned, then it means that they should be hanged. And all of this procedure should take place between mid-January to sometime in February.
K.D. Knight. But the Jamaican Council for Human Rights continues to maintain that the death sentences should be commuted to life imprisonment. The council's chairman, Dennis Daly, said they regretted the government's decision to proceed with the reinstitution of hanging. The last hanging in Jamaica was in February 1988. I put it to Mr. Daly that he has an uphill task because the majority of people in Jamaica want to keep the death penalty.
Unfortunately, that is so, but so it is in Great Britain, isn't it? But you don't have it.
So how do you plan to...
The political leadership, we think that the political leadership has a responsibility to set the example and the tone for civilized behavior and to, you know, condition people's thinking towards a more civilized solution for wrongs that are done against society.
So how do you plan to get people around to your point of view?
Well, we debate it openly as much as we can, and we write to the press, and we campaign, you know, so far. But it's really an uphill task in Jamaica this time, especially with the crime wave, you know, that is occurring here.
Well, I was going to ask you, isn't the government under a lot of pressure to deal with crime, given that the crime rate is going up? Surely the public is clamouring for the death penalty to be brought back.
The public is clamouring for the death penalty to be brought back. That is true. The fact of the matter is it has nothing to do with the crime wave, and all it is really a diversion from the real issues, which are the root of the crime wave, which are the conditions under which people live, and no active steps are being taken to alleviate.
Any feeling at all that the government is playing to public sentiment in what could be an election year, and with Mr. Knight under so much pressure over the rising crime rate in Jamaica?
I think that is undoubtedly a factor. There are many leading members of the government who are themselves personally opposed to the death penalty, but who do not have the courage of their convictions to stand up for what they believe in.
Chairman of the Jamaican Council for Human Rights, Dennis Daly. Investment and job creation plans by the Trinidad and Tobago government could be jeopardised by industrial unrest in 1993. Prime Minister Patrick Manning outlined his new economic development programme, indicating at the same time that the plan's success could hinge on the attitude of the country's trade union movement. In a special address to Parliament, Mr. Manning urged restraint from the labour movement. Tony Fraser reports.
The statement reads like a second budget. The programme of investment and job creation includes the establishment by an American firm of a US $75 million iron carbide plant. Then there is drilling of 106 oil wells by state-owned PetroTrin and a project by the major crude oil producer here, Amoco, to explore for oil at very deep levels. The Prime Minister is also banking on the construction of a plant by the American-owned Enron to produce 150 million cubic feet of natural gas by 1995. In the agricultural sector, Mr. Manning expects growth to come from a land distribution program in which the state will provide farmers with a total of 900 hectares of land. But there is a downside to the plans and programs. Massive reductions in the subventions to public utilities will result in higher water and electricity rates and increased fares on the public bus system.